Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. We are sponsored by you people. We have, by the way, I'm Ralph Malbro, you know that. We have 43 donations so far of $12. We are 157 donations away from you people getting two extra podcasts a month. One of those podcasts will be Drunk Saints History, where one of these three knuckleheads interviews me while I'm shit-faced talking about a moment in Saints history. The other podcast, we don't know. Maybe it'll be Irish Kevin. Maybe it'll be Potpourri. Maybe we'll just make fun of the Falcons. We don't know, but you're going to want that extra podcast, those two extra podcasts when draft comes around for free agency. You're going to want it. So just donate $12 like 43 people have already done. You get to 100, you get one, but you're going to want both because the Saints are going to be cray-cray in free agency and you're going to want extra shows. So you want two extra shows a month, go to the podcast page, click the donate button, boom, you're there. All right.
Booyah.
So Andrew's going to join us in like 5 minutes. He was beating like a middle-aged woman at tennis and he had to shower. I didn't shower.
He's lathering up.
I didn't shower for this podcast, and my kid vomited all over me like 15 minutes ago. That's how dedicated I am.
I wiped my ass with my hand. I still haven't showered.
Kevin, the Saints haven't fired anybody since the last time we talked, which I guess is a positive.
I know. I'm kind of upset. I almost wish that they would at least just pick some random dude to fire. Just fire the guy who replaces the toner and all the printers. Like, I don't care.
I think
just
that's
do something.
I think
can it be the training staff?
I think that was the guy Willis that they fired last week, Kevin. I think he did that. So before we get to the playoffs, and you know, we got Seattle and Atlanta. Can I root for a meteor? But we'll get that to that in a minute.
The worst.
Obviously, the Saints aren't going to make any moves. There's Andrew. He's joined us. He's clean. Obviously, the Saints aren't going to make that made any moves yet, per se.
Hasn't gotten dressed.
But here's the thing that I want to talk about because we're thin on topics and we got free agency. We'll get to that in a second. But I had like a running argument for like over the weekend of like 2 days. I spent like way too much time arguing with people over the Jimmy Graham and Kenny Stills trade. It's been 2 years. So I feel like it's time to judge those trades. And I feel like, and I know I'm going to be in the minority and y'all three are going to gang up with me. But Andrew, I feel like those trades were a failure because the Saints...
You're an idiot.
They're no better. They traded off the assets. They were 7-9. 2 years later, they're still 7-9. They wasted the draft pick on Anthony. He's a waste. They traded for an injured linebacker in Ellerby and PJ Williams. He's injured all the time. He's played one game. You can say, well, it's bad luck. It's this. It's that. The fact of the matter is, they traded two assets away. And why are they better? Because they got a center who's pretty good. They couldn't have done like they had to trade Jimmy Graham to get a center. I just like I'm not knocking the trade as far as wanting to do it or thinking it's a good idea, but the full execution of it was bad. Like part of a trade is getting assets, the other part is turning those assets into helping your team get better. They didn't do it, but Andrew, I think you're
okay. Well,
disagree.
Wait. Okay, so they got rid of their assets. They got rid of Jimmy Graham and
Kenny Stills.
Got rid of Kenny. Two ball catching players.
Yeah.
Has their passing game?
Not relevant. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does matter. No. If you can continue doing as well as you were before by getting rid of those assets and getting a little help somewhere else, like center, who they had nobody. I mean, who
so
did they
Dave,
have?
You,
Ryan De La
give,
Puente?
You give away stuff. You give away stuff out of your store because you can make your mortgage.
I would give.
You get. I mean, you I just give away merchandise
if I had
for free.
If I had an overabundance, don't you put shit on sale? If you have an overabundance, and you're gonna sit on, you get rid of it. You move it as fast as you can. It's all about turnover. And so, if you've got plenty of receivers, and you know you can just keep getting new receivers, and you know that you can just fit. And be fine. Then you get rid of some of your over.
I feel like Dave's holes. Making a great point. If he doesn't cut out every six,
I know.
And you fill holes, where you need them. Maybe you don't go get the best center in the league, but you get a center when you need. And maybe you don't need another draft pick. But yes, you're the Saints, so yes, you do need another draft pick.
So Stanley Jean-Baptiste was a good pick.
Was I cutting out?
Yes, you were. So Stanley Jean-Baptiste was an okay pick because the offense is still good. That's what you're telling me.
No. The trade, you don't know who you're going to pick with the draft pick. You can't. The Saints suck at drafting. If any other,
Well, I mean, that's part of it, though.
If any other team made. Well, I know, but. I don't have an answer to that one.
All right, well, hold on. So let's look at the trades. All right, let's look at them in isolation. I think, first of all, they're different trades, so I don't think you can rope them together. I think you look at the Jimmy Graham trade, and first of all, Stephon Anthony had a good year, his first year, his rookie year. I mean, I wouldn't say it was great. There were issues, but I don't think we can discount all of a sudden because of where he is now and say that his rookie year wasn't a promising year. And he had some really special moments, like, you know, the score and the blocked extra point run back. So, you know, he had some moments. And Unger was excellent last year. And last year, Jimmy Graham, before his ACL tear, was awful. Couldn't figure out how to fit into that offense and really did nothing for the Seahawks. So I would say if you were to evaluate that trade last year, the Saints won by an enormous amount on that trade. I mean, not even close. Okay, so now you fast forward to year two. Unger's kind of the same. Still a very solid player. Anthony regressed, and he's been injured all year. Jimmy Graham had a much better bounce-back season, but his numbers are worse than every year he had in New Orleans, with the exception of his rookie season. So I'm not sure the Saints. Now, would I have preferred them to get an elite defensive player because Graham was an elite offensive player? Absolutely. But I think when you look at what the Saints have, like if you told me right now, you can have Unger and Anthony, or you can have Jimmy Graham and Brian De La Puente at center, or Tim Lolito at center, and no first round developmental linebacker, I'm not sure that's an obvious answer. I mean, I think I would pick Jimmy Graham, but it's not like it's a slam dunk. Now, don't forget, they're also not saddled with Graham's contract, which was another big negative. So, you know, they have more cap room going into this offseason because they don't have Graham. So that's another factor in that trade. Now, the Stills trade, you look at PJ Williams, he hasn't played for 2 years. Stills has been lining it up in Miami. I think Dave's right. You know, the Saints didn't need Stills.
Lining it up is a stretch.
Yeah, okay, he's playing well. But I think you look at Ellerbe. I think his main problem has been staying on the field. But when he has played well. He played pretty well last year. And I think he finished, even with the injuries, I think he finished like third in sacks on the team this year. So, you know, by no means would I say that picking up Ellerbe was a hit. But at the same time, I just think there's all these rumors out there that Stills was a locker room problem. They didn't really like him. Breeze didn't have good chemistry with him. So they're not missing. They're not missing Stills. They have Snead. They have Cooks. They have Michael Thomas. I don't see how, you know, having him would help this offense in any way.
Jimmy Graham was also a locker room issue too. So,
Kevin, do you feel like that I guess my argument with people was like, I'm not okay with trading away the second best asset on the Saints team, which I think Jimmy Graham was. I'm not okay with trading that away for a pretty nice center and a maybe 2 years later. Kevin, did you mute yourself?
I mean, I thought we were okay with the trade.
I mean,
apparently like, not. Apparently, like, some of us.
I thought we realized, okay, we've got to move on from Jimmy Graham. I don't know. I was under the impression that
we were all. I mean, that maybe.
Let me ask you this. What about let's look at the Patriots? I always like to look at the Patriots. Do the Patriots have superstar guys? Do they have guys that put up huge numbers, or do they just have a whole bunch of pretty good
white dudes?
Roles?
White dudes.
I mean, that's a serious question. Dudes. Don't the
Patriots, and a serial killer. Allegedly.
Don't the Patriots?
Well, actually, no. He's been convicted.
Allegedly. Other than Rob Gronkowski. I mean, the Patriots don't have these big name, and you know, obviously Tom Brady. You know, the Patriots don't have these big name guys. They don't have these big superstars. They don't have guys that put up crazy numbers. They get guys who, like you refer to Max Unger as, good guys. They're pretty good guys. They get role players. They get players to fill these roles, and they do these roles. And I feel like the Saints traded Jimmy Graham, who is a big name guy, and they went and got some pretty good guys. I think the goal in the NFL is to have some pretty good guys across the board at all positions. That's the winning formula. Not having two or three awesome guys that put up 1,000 yards. And that's why the whole Mark Ingram 1,000-yard rushing season and the fucking Drew Brees 5,000-yard season and the Mike Thomas 1,000. I don't give a shit about any of that shit. I'd rather have seven guys 700 yards receiving. Okay.
Yeah. And that's the point I made earlier today with you, Ralph, when we were texting. You know, I said a lot of Saints fans are down on Sterling Moore and B.W. Webb. Like, those guys aren't good enough to be starting, and they shouldn't have been. In a perfect world, they shouldn't have been starting this year. But as your fourth and fifth corner, those are great guys to have on your team, because the alternative is you're playing guys like, when you get banged up, you're playing guys like Devontae Harris and Corey White. And you're starting guys like that. So you want Sterling Moore and B.W. Webb back because, yeah, you don't want them starting, but you want them as your nickel. You want them as your four or five, and you want them starting in a pinch if your guys get hurt, because the alternative is much worse. And that's exactly right. That's exactly what Dave said. You need a bunch of guys like that, because teams that go to the playoffs that win have a bunch of guys like that and not two or three superstars and undrafted rookies.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
so if you don't have a center and you can get rid of a guy like Jimmy Graham and you can continue on with your offensive passing production while still getting rid of Jimmy Graham, but at the same time you're also getting a pretty good center and you're filling that role, I think you come out ahead.
I just feel like they got to, like,
you know what, Ralph, you're wrong. Okay,
I feel like they got to do better. They got to do better drafting.
I agree with that.
Well,
I mean,
okay, all like, of us would unanimously
and
agree
I
that
just
they
think
have to do
because,
better draft.
Because you look at the trade for Unger and a pick is the front end is okay, but.
Well, no, it's great. It's a first round pick.
They got and they.
I mean, Unger and a first round pick.
You gotta hit it.
You gotta hit it.
Unger and a first round pick is awesome.
You gotta hit it. And Kenny Stills, I think they got as good a value as you can get. He was a fifth round pick and they got a third. But you gotta hit on the third.
And Ellerbe.
And you gotta. Well, Ellerbe, I knew what Ellerbe's gonna be. Ellerbe's always injured. That's just what he is. But they, I mean, you gotta do. And I think that was my point on Twitter. I was like arguing with people. I'm like, no, because you got a bunch of good assets at the front end, you gotta convert it on the back end. But this led to another discussion. Listen.
Here's the only thing I'm gonna say. I mean, injuries are injuries, and it's football. You can't predict it. There was no way to predict PJ Williams was gonna get banged up because he had no history of it in college. But it's football. That's the sport. Like, some guys are going to get banged up. At the end of the day, they got two really promising, talented kids on the defensive side of the ball, and Stephon Anthony and PJ Williams, and that was the risk they had to take. They had to get younger and more talented on defense And you can't deny that those guys have immense talent. Now, this is year two that they have just played. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Anthony. You know, this was a really discouraging year for him. And the writing's on the wall with PJ Williams, because if he goes on IR one more time, his career is over. But it is possible, based on their talent, that they come back. I'm not ready to write off their careers yet. It is possible that they come back and contribute next year and be good players for the Saints. And so, you know, I think we have to keep in mind here, remember Zach Strief's path to being a good pro and German Bushrod's path to being a good pro. And Andres Pete in year two, the leap he made. So the light doesn't come on for every guy their rookie season, or not always in their second year. And we have to remember too that, you know, sometimes it takes guys a while to improve and develop.
Kevin, what scenario would be more enjoyable in 2017? Stephon Anthony being phenomenal and all the Joe Vitt jokes we can make, God, I forgot what I was going to say the back half of it. Shit! I forgot. It was so good. It was such a good analogy. It was such a good like choice for. Oh, I know what it was. Being able to make fun of Joe Vitt or Kobe Fleener catching 75 balls. What would be more enjoyable for us on Twitter? How much? What would the jokes?
I gotta think that it's anything that involves us making fun of Joe Vitt, because if Kobe Fleener suddenly catches, shit, if Kobe Fleener even catches, you know, 65 passes for, like, I don't know, 800 yards and like six touchdowns or whatever, I'm gonna be ecstatic. And I'll just laugh at myself and be like, wow, he's turned out really good. And then that'll be about it. But if Stephon Anthony suddenly becomes quite good and the linebackers somehow become something other than a wet fart, then it's basically, man, Joe Vitt really coached him up. You know, that's all.
So, Andrew, you were talking about Anthony, and we were texting back and forth, and you made a good point about Vaccaro, because Vaccaro took a big dip. I would say he took a big dip in his second year. Sean Payton even benched him, but just for a little bit, and he played his whole second year mostly. So it wasn't quite as dramatic as Anthony, because Anthony was just rotting on the bench. What do you – like, it seems to – everything I read, and I don't break film down like you, but everything I read says Dennis Allen likes to play zone – and Stephon Anthony can't play zone. So is that just like a marriage that just like cannot work? Like, what do they have to do to get Anthony back being a functional player?
Well, I think right now, unless the Saints are rolling with Robertson at middle linebacker next year,
God,
and I don't really think that's the best position for him.
No,
I really think he played his best ball when he, you know, he was an off linebacker. So I still think there's a hole at middle linebacker. And I don't think you hand that position to Stephon Anthony, obviously. I mean, there needs to be competition in training camp, but I'd like to see him move back there because that's where he played and that's where he had success his rookie year. You know, I think a big problem with Dennis Allen and the way he was calling games was he was somewhat limited with his coverage. I mean, you got to remember, he was out there with Ken Crawley, Sterling Moore, and B.W. Webb as his corners for a lot of the season. And so he didn't really have the luxury to get exotic or play to Stephon Anthony or some other guy's strengths because he was so limited with what he had at corners. So, you know, if this defense gets healthier, there's more playmakers, there's better talent to support Anthony, then potentially you're in a position to play to his strengths and put him back at middle linebacker. So that's what I'd like to see. But yeah, I do think this isn't a great fit schematically for him if they continue to want to run zone. He's just not a great cover guy.
Well, that's, I mean, Kevin.
Easy breezy, beautiful cover.
Alabama's, it's 14-7, and Clemson is, like, running in the mud. Oh, fuck Clemson. They just fumbled, and Alabama scooped it up. Goddamn Clemson. Breaking news.
But it won't be breaking by the time you listen to this podcast.
No, it won't be. It will not.
Over.
It will not be. So before we get to the questions and remind people to donate again, Kevin, I looked at the – like, we were all pumped up about the Saints having $30 million in cap space. But I looked in the over-the-cap website. The Saints have the – even with $30 million of cap space, have – they're 22nd in the most cap space going into the offseason. So is it possible – that we are just psyched up for the all-in, go-crazy tour, and the Saints, like, free agency is going to be okay, and they're going to do some fun stuff, but it's not going to be this crazy blockbuster Benson eating ice cream, drinking red wines, just burning
through
money. Dude,
I really think I really think a lot that most of that's you. Like, I don't, like I know it's fun to say... To say, look, I don't know who's outside next to a church, but
or train,
one of the two. I don't know. I'm old. I really think that you're the one who's trying to drive the train.
I am El Presidente.
Let's spend all the money. Let's take a giant cap hit and pay a tax or whatever the hell the NFL does. Like, let's go all in on this season. Period.
Such a dumb idea.
It is.
Of course, somebody who thinks the Jimmy Graham trade was terrible would also think, let's just go all in.
So Kevin doesn't think they're going to. Dave, you don't think they should go all in, or you don't think they will?
I don't think they should go all in. I just gave a little speech earlier about how it's not about getting, you know, great player. You know, it's not, you don't want to go by the Al Davis philosophy. You don't want to draft a guy who had the fastest 40 time at the combine. You don't want to go for all the flash in the pan stuff. You want to go with just solid guys. You solid guys that fill a role. So if we're talking about 2017 free agency for the Saints, what would make me most excited is if they, you know, bring in a lot of people, get a lot of different people, but not, you know, not necessarily, you know, the big name stars. I'd be more happy if they maybe even sat on their hands for, you know, maybe they can go and get one guy on the first day.
Dave and Kevin, this sounds great. This sounds another 7-9 season. Yeah, four in a row. Let's do it.
Well, yeah. here's the thing.
Let's just slowly march our way.
Let me ask you a question.
You know,
let me ask you a question.
Let's look long term here. Let's not think about the present. Let's just another 7-9. What's the big deal?
No. I would be happy if in free agency they went and they stockpiled a whole bunch of bargain bin guys later.
Let's just
so
let's
do
go,
again
let's just
what
get
they
some
did.
Average talent.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh no. Let's go sign the safety available for $60 million. Yeah, great idea. Let's do that. Oh yeah.
Well, no, you can.
Oh,
you can.
Oh no. Let's give Kobe Fleener $10 million, even though no other tight end in free agency.
Well, let me ask you.
Money. Yeah, let's do that. That'll work out great.
Well, let me ask you this, Dave.
All in.
Come on, man.
I think Kobe Fleener's cap hit for last year was like $5 million, I think, or maybe even way less. Right, Andrew? Wasn't his cap hit?
Yeah.
His cap hit was like $3 to $4 million. So if they went out and signed six Kobe Fleeners, not obviously tight ends, but like six guys that all make between $5 and $8 million, would you be cool with that and ruining the cap going forward? Or are you just worried about them signing like Jarris Bird and a guard and paying like?
Oh,
eight?
Let's give Nick Fairley $60 million and then Weston Lowe for the next.
I cannot wait for that to happen. I'm just not even going to play the
that
intro.
That might happen this week.
That might happen. I'm just going to go straight to Dave. No music, no nothing. It's just going to be Dave in a room with a cigarette and a beer.
Me in the corner of the room in the fetal position.
I mean. Andrew, how...
I'm out of
this...
here. You guys have fun later. Talk amongst yourselves.
He's going Costanza.
All right, Dave and Kevin are stupid. Listen, 7-9, 3 years in a row. Sean Payton on the hot seat with continuous talk of him leaving every single offseason. Drew Brees is 38, going to be 38, on the final year of his deal. Loomis, Payton, you know, Benson's not getting any younger. You know, we don't know how much longer he's going to last. This is the YOLO season for the Sean Payton era. It's YOLO. So you can either spend all your cap room, go nuts in the draft, trade up, get the best talent you can. Hey, I don't care if there's two strikes on you. I don't care if there's two outs and you're down eight runs. You're swinging for the fences. You're not trying to get men on base. You're not trying to get a walk. You know, you're swinging for the fences here. And that's the only play they have left. They have to go all in because – and either it'll blow up in their faces – and it's fine because a 7-9 season isn't getting anyone returned into New Orleans anyway. Or it actually works and it salvages the legacy.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If you're in the if they're in the midst, Kevin, of another 7-9 next year, remember Drew Brees' contract is up next year too. So you're going to have splash reports of where Drew Brees is going to go, and if you think that shit won't get annoyingly insane and want you'll want to drink Drano if the Saints are 2-5. Oh, Jesus. The splash reports for where Drew Brees is going to be playing in 2018 will drive you insane. And Sean Payton will just hit eject at that point. But here's my question, Andrew, is, and we kind of got off track with Kevin and Dave. Not, I expected Dave to do what he did. I didn't expect Kevin to be such a killjoy. But here's the thing that I kind of got off track is, my point is, even if the Saints want to go the YOLO season, which me and you obviously want them to go, is $30 million, is it not what we think it is? Because all these teams have more room than them.
Yeah, so there's some merit to that, yes. Especially because, you know, each team has to spend a certain amount. Like they have to get up to a minimum, so...
$110 million.
I think there's a lot of teams that have more money than the Saints.
All right, listen, y'all talking about trading up and all this other kind of crazy shit. Let's
the YOLO season.
Let's listen.
We need a T-shirt for the YOLO season.
I need to hear Leprechaun.
Let's take a hop in the time machine, and let's go back to the Halcyon days of early 2006. When the Saints decided to make a big splash and sign a free agent by the name of Drew Brees, and then they went into the draft.
This isn't Leprechaun, Kevin.
No, we're like a drunk, rowdy stand up crowd. I mean, we want the hits. We're like, play the hits, play the hits.
In the 2006 draft, in which the Saints had eight picks, six of the eight picks made the roster that year. Six of the eight picks made the roster. Now let's see. Colston, Streif, Jari Evans, and Roman Harper all stayed with the team for several years. You can argue Roman Harper being a issue toward the, you know, in his last season or whatever. But he went elsewhere and managed to be successful. Reggie Bush, you know, had his moments, you know, flashes of brilliance and all that kind of stuff. But you had multiple picks in which you hit on the draft and guys made the roster.
Well, isn't that isn't that a different discussion though? I mean, we're talking about free agency. If you want to argue to me, look, I want to spend all of Benson's money in free agency this year. If you were like, cool, I want to do that, but you know what? I don't want the Saints trading up and giving up a first round pick in 2018 or a second round pick in 2018. Like that's just, you can't. That's too much. That's like giving up the deed to your house. Like, you can't go that much YOLO. So, like, I could be down for that, but, like, what does it matter? Like, if everyone's gone in 2018, like, what is cap space? Who cares? You know?
Yeah, I mean, once Drew Brees is gone, they got to blow the whole thing up anyway.
But I guess here's my question, Andrew.
Like, we can't expect the team to not be awful for a year or two after Brees leaves.
But I guess here's my question with the cap, though. Like, what do the Saints have to do if a team with like $50 million in cap room, say they want a player that the Saints want, and the Saints are like, fuck it, we want the player. How do the Saints get that player when they're $10-15 million less of cap space? Like, what do they have to do? Is it sign? Like, how do they structure the deal? Is it cap space? Is it
Loomis math? Is it fucking Loomis math?
It's just a giant bonus that Benson cuts the check, yeah. and then they make the cap hit low. I got you.
Yeah. Well, there's a few things they can do. You know, first of all, a lot of these teams with cap space, they have the luxury of taking less risk with front-loaded deals. In other words, if there's a guy they really like, they can offer him more money, less years. So you're going to get more guarantee, the player is, but the team's going to be saddled with that player for a smaller amount of time. And, you know, let's say it's a three-year deal. What the Saints can do is they can say, look, we'll give you more security. We'll give you a four-year deal, a five-year deal. And in year one, you're going to be less against the cap, but you're going to make more money over time. It gives you more security, but we're taking on more risk. So even if teams have more cap space, you know, they might be more reluctant, you know, if they, you know, let's say they have a lot of cap space. You know, just as an example, I would say, let's say Philadelphia. I don't know what their cap situation's like, but they're like, all right, I don't know if we want to do a five-year deal because 5 years from now, we're going to have to pay Carson Wentz probably a $150 million contract. You know, because by then, with the way the cap space is, with the way the cap is, mm-hmm. like that's probably going to be the going rate for a quarterback. So 5 years from now, we don't want to be in the last year of a blockbuster deal with this player. Whereas the Saints can say, 5 years from now, Brees is going to be off the cap because he's probably not going to be in the league anymore. And so, hell yeah, we're going to take a five-year deal that has an exorbitant cost 5 years from now because, you know, either we'll cut him and take on a ton of dead money or we'll let him play out his contract. And by the time he's playing, we'll have a quarterback on a rookie deal starting for us.
Are there telltale signs, Andrew? I want the YOLO season. So are there like telltale signs that we could see in leading up to free agency or right before free agency starts that would tell us that the Saints are going to go the YOLO route? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. I mean, I think in years past, like if you look at the last few years, the Saints were pretty aggressive about restructuring deals, extending guys. If you see them extend Vaccaro before they hit free agency, if you see them extend Thomas Morstead, if you see them redo deals, now remember they have a ton of cap space. So if they're giving themselves even more by redoing Jarris Bird's deal, in other words, if they're tinkering to give themselves even more space, you know, that's a huge sign that they're going into free agency looking to spend.
All right, we got to
because the difference is this time they don't have to.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's what I want. I mean, so we have a ton of just Twitter questions. So let's just get to it. This is from Balky Kevin. If Atlanta loses, will we be able to say Brock Osweiler is a better playoff quarterback than Matt Ryan?
I'll be fully prepared to say that. I will come up. I will start tweeting the Falcoholic and any Falcon fans I can find by saying, "Hey guys, listen. I'll just start throwing out trade suggestions. Listen, guys, Osweiler for Ryan straight up.
I mean,
and you guys may have to throw in a draft pick too to really sweeten the pot.
Rex Grossman is a better playoff quarterback than Matt Ryan.
Andrew, this in it's kind of
there you go, the gunslinger.
It's kind of a serious question though, but if Matt Ryan, if they lose another home playoff game, I think that would make him 1-6 in playoff games, right?
Mm-hmm.
At that point, would Atlanta seriously have to consider, like, dude, he can't cut it. Like, I know, not that they would get rid of him, but I mean, I think their fans would, like, start to turn on him a little, like, if he shits the bed against Seattle, right?
Well, they were hating on Matt Ryan big time before the season. The fans, they were already
they've
they're
always
already
hated
turning,
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, well, they're kind of he's had a resurgence with the year he's had. I think it's kind of a Romo deal. In other words, even if he loses in the playoffs and can't get it done, I mean, there's no way Atlanta can get rid of Matt Ryan, especially after the season he just had.
No,
so,
but the fans will be against, like the fan, like it will irreparably damage the fans' relationship with him going forward until they win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's fair, but I think it's like a Romo situation.
I think it'll be
a split fan base. You'll have the fans that are like, oh, look what he's done in the regular season. He's great.
Yeah.
He's a winner. He's just had bad luck in the playoffs. And half the fan base will be like, can't get it done in the playoffs. Doesn't matter. So, I think it'll be exactly like he'll be the modern day Tony Romo.
That'll be delightful.
I think what I would love is for like 2 years from now, the Falcons decide to get rid of Matt Ryan and they send him somewhere like, I don't know, like Washington or whatever, or I don't know. I mean, pick a team. So they send him to Washington and he makes the playoffs for like 3 straight years and makes a conference championship at some point. And they beat Atlanta in one of those playoff games. I would laugh my little ass off.
Brian asked, will the Falcons plagiarize their score against the Giants?
No, they'll put up more than two. I as much as I would love to see them only put up two again, I think they'll put up more than two.
More important, Atlanta getting destroyed.
We should ask Barry Hurst just what he thinks about.
Oh, Lord. Poor Barry. I feel bad. I feel bad, man. You gotta stay in your lane, man. You gotta stay in your lane.
Someone brought up the word plagiarize. I didn't.
I know. Super Saiyan Saint, he asked, more important, Atlanta getting destroyed or your son's college? Well, my son's probably gonna be a trucker, so
trade schools.
Trade schools or not. Nothing wrong with trade schools. I want
Atlanta. Nope. In this economy, our kids will only be able to afford to go to trade school.
Yeah, the problem is being a trucker, when they have the self-driving trucks, he could be screwed. This is a good question, especially for you, Andrew, because you care so much about your diet. This is from Dylan. Would you rather eat McDonald's 3 times a day for a year or see the Falcons win the Super Bowl?
I mean, they have salads, right?
I ate McDonald's for a week when my wife was in the hospital having our
my life.
Share, and it was dreadful. It was dreadful. I mean, they have the breakfast menu all day now, but it's still terrible.
I mean, if that's the sacrifice I have to make for the Falcons not winning the Super Bowl, it's not even a question.
Dylan,
all right, well let me ask you this.
I mean, I would drink Drano for a month.
Well, let me ask you this: on top of the three meals, can you eat like something else that's like super healthy? Like that's got a lot of like fiber in it or whatever to try and help mitigate those problems.
I guess so. Yeah, he didn't specify, but I guess you could. You just have to eat at McDonald's. Okay.
Eating a lot of fiber on top of a lot of McDonald's sound better.
Yeah,
it sounds worse.
Well,
Dylan asks, should the money donated be used to pay off Darren Sproul's wife to lift the curse?
We'll start up a different fundraiser.
Which was Dylan. Thanks for reminding people. Donate. We only need 157 more.
We should have a seance on the podcast to try to lift the curse.
We should have like a
guest, like a voodoo
Saints
fan.
If we had
come
extra,
on the podcast,
if we had an extra podcast every month, two extra ones. We could have the seance as a special episode. So just donate the $12 and boom.
Right?
Seriously, if you're one of our listeners and you listen to Ouija, or you do the Ouija board, or you're in like some, I don't know, some witchcraft, or you're a warlock. just hit us up. Let us know, because we want to try to do our part lifting this curse.
Dude, and listen and do a breakdown on us, and let us know. What house each of us would be in. I think Ralph would definitely be Slytherin. I think Jude is 100% Hufflepuff. I definitely think I'm Ravenclaw, and Dave is definitely I can't remember the main one.
See, though, the problem with this is I'm gonna get a DM from a warlock or a wicker, and they're gonna put a curse on me, like some sort of bad 1980s horror movie.
Yeah. They're going to curse you thinner, and then it's going to be like, well, wait a minute, Ralph, you're already rail thin.
Yeah, they're going to like that one good arm you have. It's going to get the plague or something. It's going to be terrible. So
my good arm,
bubonic plague on his good arm.
see what you've done? It's going to be terrible. So this is a good question. What would be more humiliating? Andrew, Atlanta loses the first playoff game at home, or they lose to the Texans in the Super Bowl? That's a good question.
Oh, that's good. I think it would just be so much more soul crushing to lose at home, and I think there's a chance it happens. I mean, Seattle could beat them. I think especially this year, when Matt Ryan's had the season he's had, and you know, obviously a lot of people are kind of starting to think Falcons might actually have a shot at doing something special this year. For them to be one and done at home.
If you lose a playoff game at home, I think that's the worst possible thing. And I know 2011 was terrible. But to me, 2011, as bad as it was, wasn't nearly as bad as all those Jim Moore years where they had home
Atlanta, playoff. Atlanta and the Eagles, those games. Oh,
like,
my God.
Because when you lose at home, you walk out of your own stadium for the final time, and you've lost. At least when you lose on the road, you're like, well, whatever happened. But so, the thing is, losing to the Texans in the Super Bowl, man, because you know Atlanta for 2 weeks would think they got it, and they'd be like, Brock Osweiler, there's no way he's having four good games in a row, and they just get – that would be – but it would also be bad for me personally, because the Houston people, oh, my God, they'd be insufferable.
I mean, I have to say the worst Saints loss in terms of scars. I mean, the 49ers one was tough because, you know, we really felt like there was a chance at a Super Bowl title, but for me – losing to the Falcons at home in the playoffs, what year was that, Ralph? Like 94?
91. And the thing that was so... 91.
That was horrible.
The thing that was so terrible...
It was so bad.
The thing that was so terrible about it, too, was that the Saints had the same cornerback injuries that they had this year, but they all happened in December. So they signed Milton Mack, who was
decent.
He was like the Brian Dixon of the Saints. Like, he was on the roster, off the roster, on the roster. Yeah. They signed him on a Wednesday. He started on Saturday, and Michael Haynes obliterated him and scored the winning touchdown against him in overtime.
Yep.
You know, it'd be the equivalent of the Saints playing in a playoff game, signing B.W. Webb, and he's starting.
The Saints signed Michael Haynes because he was so good against him, and then he was terrible for the Saints.
Yeah. This is from Super Deformed Kevin. Which ending to the Seahawks-Falcon games would you prefer? A, a meteor strike. B, a tsunami. C, a large sinkhole.
Wait, say that again?
Which ending to the Seattle...
No, the middle one.
Tsunami.
Tsunami.
Oh, okay, because it sounded like you just were trying to pronounce the T in there.
It could have been.
So, yeah, the categories. So a meteor strike, a tsunami, and then what was the third one? Because I was so caught up on tsunami.
Large sinkhole.
Oh, I'm going large sinkhole. I would love would for there to be a giant fault, not a giant fault line, but a giant sinkhole in the stadium, and then the city planners or the state, I don't know, State Department of Natural Resources or whoever sanctions these things, finds out that there is a bunch of underground caverns underneath the site of Megatron's asshole, and they can't build the stadium on that land, and the giant boondoggle has to be moved elsewhere.
The giant boondoggle. So this is for Irish Kevin. This is from Eric Cooksey. For Irish Kevin, when the Saints trade up to draft Fournette, who gets beaten with the shillelagh?
Well, it depends on how many times or how many picks they surrender for the spot. Where are the Saints projected to be drafted now?
11.
Okay, well, if they move up to fourth, let's say to grab Mr. Fournette, I would say that's a good 7 whacks with the hurl. To the backside, and what we'll do is, I'll phone up Father O'Hare.
Does
and,
Jeff and Ireland get it, or does Mickey Loomis? Does Jeff Ireland get it, or does Mickey Loomis get the 7 whacks?
Oh, it's got to be Loomis. We're not gonna touch a hair on Jeff Ireland. Not a hair on that man's head.
Andrew, I feel like I just threw that fastball right down the middle.
Mickey Loomis is the fella that's going to be taking the whacks. But listen, I am all in on the trading down though. This is incorrigible that we're even having this discussion about trading up again.
Do you feel like trading
running backs? Running back. I'm seeing on the social medias tonight that the Saints need to just pull everything just shy of a Ricky Williams to get this fella from Alabama. We do not need another Alabama running back.
Well, here's my question. If the Saints trade up, would you feel that would be as big a disaster as when you were a child and they had the potato famine?
I am not that old.
You see, people, if you get to 200 donations, we could have an entire podcast of Irish Kevin where you just ask him life questions, football questions, soccer questions, how to cook, all sorts of...
Football.
Football. The football where you kick it with your feet and the goals and such, right? You know, so that's why you want to donate $12. You just $12 is nothing. You know, it's nothing. It's nothing. That's 1,200 pennies. It's nothing. You know, so.
Hey, we're getting close to 50, aren't we?
Yeah, we're at 43 donations as of this afternoon, and it was really quite heartwarming and sort of crazy to see all the donations that came in Saturday while the playoff games were going on. Like, people were listening to this podcast, watching the playoff games, which is really – that's what our fans do, man. They're diehard. They need their Saint stuff. So that about wraps it up. So, Kev, you can find Kevin on the Twitters. You can find Andrew at Saints Nation. Andrew, you don't have your grades anymore, but you're doing satire and jokes, which the people like me that write those columns don't like. You're cutting in on our territory, but that's fine.
Yes, big special shout-out to Dr. Dickhead for his inaugural post on Saints Nation.
So... And Kevin and Dave will be writing a column eventually on Canal Street Chronicle. We'll just transcribe his meltdown when they signed Fairley to 5 years, $50 million. We'll just transcribe it and put it on Canal Street Chronicles. starts, and that counts as his yearly column. So, for Dave, for Kevin, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.
Oh, we got a good rate going on the dollars to euros conversion right now.